He's alive or he's alive? That came from the lips of the disciples and Mary. Was it a question or was it a hopeful statement of joy almost 2,000 years ago? For me, it's not a question, but rather, he's alive is absolute assurance. Not just a hope on how things will be. For me, he's alive means in heaven, there will never be a time when you will come to the end of the month and there will be more bills to pay than cash remaining. There are no needs or wants in heaven. There are no mortgages. I think we all know Jesus went up and is preparing mansions for us. There are no car payments. Why would we need a car? We can fly wherever we want to go. And there will not be the Internal Revenue Service because the streets are made of gold. And the pearly gates are just that. Each one is a solid, giant pearl. For me, he's alive means in heaven you will not receive a phone call from the phone committee asking to please pray for a church member that is taken ill, is in the hospital in order to have surgery, or that someone has been involved in an injury-producing accident. We will be living with the great healer, the physician, the creator. There will be no need for urgent care, pharmacies, or hospitals in heaven. For me, he's alive means in heaven you will not open the daily newspaper, and who knows, maybe it'll be called the Heavenly Sun Star, and read about a friend or family member who has passed, and a notice that their service is next week. There will be no more death in heaven, and furthermore, Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. For me, he's alive means living for an eternity with a forever friend. Jesus, who will make you feel like you are the only one he is looking at, even though you are in the midst of multitudes or more. Because you see, Jesus has a super ultrasound, because as he said about Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And further indication of his knowledge of friendship with us is in Matthew 10:30, where Jesus says, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. This means that no detail is too small to escape his attention. No change misses his careful and loving eye. And then the ultimate gift from this forever friend is spoken of in John 15:13, where it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. All of us can articulate what he's alive means personally, but there was a song that I first heard in the 80s that summarizes what I think Jesus' resurrection should mean to all of us, and some of the words are, he's alive, I am forgiven, and heaven's gates are open wide. I wish all of you a joyous resurrection day.
What Jesus' death and resurrection means to me, many different things, of course, but one of the ones that I was thinking of this week is how it means and gives us freedom of communication. Sin is what separates us from God. My sin is what separates me from God. It makes me unfit, unworthy, and unable to be in his presence. But because of Jesus, because he became our high priest, we can, as it says in Hebrews, approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that there we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way is opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts in full assurance of our faith. That curtain has been torn from top to bottom. Only God could have done that. And this, by this showing us such an amazing and powerful sacrifice that was made for us by our Heavenly Father and by his Son. Now no other human person is needed to go as a go-between between us and God anymore. No high priest is needed to take offerings to the altar and to the Holy of Holies once a year for our sins. Instead of that, we have something much better now, much more amazing. Now daily we can come and kneel humbly before an awesome, powerful, and loving God who, because of Jesus, will communicate with us and hear our heart cries directly. Praise him for that.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Yeah, the very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, he lives to take away my shame, and he lives to set forever I'll proclaim the payment for my sin was the precious life he gave. But now he's alive and there's an empty grave. Within me cry, I know my Redeemer. I know, no, no, no,
morning and happy Sabbath. Many of you know me, but for those of you who don't, my name is Facundo, and today I'm going to talk about what Jesus means to me. Jesus is very special to me. He is always there for me when I need him, and he is always there for me when I need someone to talk to. He has helped me a lot throughout the years. When I left to Puerto Rico, it wasn't something that I wanted to do. I thought that it was going to be hard settling in, but even though it was difficult to settle in, I felt like Jesus was there the whole time helping me and taking care of me. He has also helped me with the little things, such as taking a test or helping me meet new people. There are plenty of times where I felt like he may not be there just because something didn't go my way, but I know that he is always there watching over us. I'm glad that I know Jesus, because I know that when I need help, in some way he will help me, and I know that he is always there to help me when no one else will.
Over a month ago, when Bonnie asked me to do this, I thought, well, yes, I'd say I would, but it's over a month away, and maybe she'd change her mind by then, but so far she hadn't. So I decided, when I was thinking about it, was to write down something. And so I didn't really think that I'd have to do this, but last Friday, when I saw my name on the list, I got out my notes, but I couldn't read them. I just couldn't read my own writing. So I decided I'd better do it on the computer. I did that, but I couldn't change the font. The letters were too small to read. So the only thing I could do was to write myself an email, so I did. So this is what I've written. It says, I am awed, my hands are shaking, but I am awed to think that Jesus died and rose again for me. Because of his willingness to suffer and die and die, I have a chance to live with him in heaven. He saw me before I was even born and chose me. Over 100 years ago, a religious book salesman came to a little town on the Columbia River and sold my grandmother some books. She read them and became a Seventh-day Adventist. She got material from the conference and started a home Sabbath school for her grandchildren. My earliest memory is singing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and being taught verses from the Bible. I just loved going to Sabbath school. I was baptized at the age of 12 and have been a member of the Adventist Church for 84 years. So now you can do the math and know just exactly how old I am. In 3 months, though, you can add one more to that. I praise God every day that he has loved me and kept me alive this long, and I am waiting and looking for the day when I can kneel at his feet and look into his face and thank him for his sacrifice. Then I will see my husband that was with me for 66 years and see my son that I have missed, and the other loved ones that are sleeping until he comes. Praise God, he is coming soon to take us home. Over the years, I have worked in Sabbath school many years. I have been a treasure church for 20 years, and my recommendation is to work in the church and to stay close. The Bible says that some women followed Jesus and the disciples. They did and cared for their needs. Jesus spoke about his death and that he would arise in 3 days. When Jesus was arrested and punished and crucified, just like he said would happen, almost all the disciples ran away. But several of the women, including Mary, Jesus' mother, stayed at the cross, and on the third day, which we call Sunday and Easter, it was a woman that went to the tomb to honor the body of Jesus. And it was a woman that first saw that Jesus was alive and ran to tell the disciples. I would like to believe that if I had been alive, that I would have been one of the women that had been with Jesus and heard him talking to the people. If he had not died and rose again from the grave, just like he said he would, life would not be worth living. This morning when I read my the book that I read every day, there was something there that I thought would bring to you. It says a lot of us feel uncomfortable about the pain that Jesus endured on our behalf. We don't like the thought of the darkness of the grave or the stone covered the tomb, but we only truly honor Jesus when we realize that our freedom, our joy, our hope, our peace comes at the cost of his pain and his death. To skim over his suffering and his days and nights in the tomb diminishes the power and the breadth of the depth of what he did. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. He knew we were stuck in sin, headed toward a lonely path of our own destruction. But what we do when left on our own desires, we ruin ourselves. He knew we were a mess inside and out. He knew that only he could do what needed to be done. He could bridge the chasm between his sinful people and a holy God. I would like to, like the song goes, this world is not my home. Let us be ready for the glorious day when he takes us to our heavenly home.
When Bonnie asked me to do this, I wanted to say no. But when the Holy Spirit talked to you, you can do that. So you just have to do it. So I have all 1,001 reasons to say no. I can't do this. You know, this is like Pastor said, fear of public speaking is the number one fear. So, and I have that. But if I'm not able to connect the dots before I stop talking, ask me when I go out. I have been contemplating on what I'm going to say to share with you today about the story of redemption and how what does it mean to me, resurrection. And they say you do it for 2 minutes or 5 minutes the most, and it's even harder to squeeze everything in, you know, and, you know, just to be sure that before I stop talking, you guys get something else. But anyways, for me to give exactly what I wanted to emphasize on this is that I need to go back to this, how God, before the creation, and when God thought about creating the earth, I was like thinking at the back of my mind, how did he engineer, how did he design the landscape of the earth and all that. I was like thinking that he's trying to make a big jigsaw puzzle. I wanted to put this here and this one here, and just so that everything would be in perfect harmony. So long before the foundation of the earth, God has conceived us in his mind. You know, God thought about us even before he created the earth, and to me that is something else. So he's probably contemplating of what would be the right spot for each and every one for us, because nobody among us is an accident. Everybody here is planned and especially designed by God. All of us are special to him. He chose our color, the race, the time of your birth. He knows the number of your hair. Everything. God has a perfect plan for every one of us. And I was thinking of that big jigsaw puzzle that's creating. I know he did it perfectly exactly how He wants us to enjoy it, because that's the reason why he created the earth, because he wants us to live. He wants us there. He created the earth for us to have a place to live and stay in perfect harmony. And the thing is that when sin happened, when it occurred, then his dreams was shattered. Like, everything fall apart, and it was like broken into pieces. The idea of a beautiful heaven is, you know, it was gone. But when Jesus came as our Savior, then that was the perfect key. When it was shattered, that's the last piece of the puzzle to put it all back together. So there is a continuation of his first plan for us. So I know that when Jesus died on the cross, when we were redeemed by his blood, when he shed his blood on the cross, that was the key. That was like the golden piece that put everything back. And because of that, we have hope. And then we will have to feel again and live again the perfect life that God has originally planned for us. Not today, but soon. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning, church. We all know that we have an enemy. We've all learned that, even if we hadn't been to church. We know that there is an enemy out there because there is evil in the world. So at one point in my life, after walking with the worldly ways for many years, I began to search for the truth. And I searched and searched. And finally, one place where I was living, my neighbor said, "Carol, if you will go to this Revelation seminar and take my mom, I think she'll go." And I go, "Well, I've been searching for truth, so I'll go." And that's where I learned the truth of the Bible, the real truth of the Bible. So in those years that I had lived and walked with the world, I found my Savior who shed his blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness and to give me the power to walk with him and be with him and to do things that are pleasing to him. So God is very special that he gave us his son Jesus. He loves me. He loves you. He loves everyone, even the violent, awful sinners in this world, because he is a loving God. He's not just a loving God, he is a pure, holy God who is nothing but love. So when we get to know him and to serve him and walk with him, we can be more and more like him by the power of his Holy Spirit living in and through us. And it is the blood, the precious blood, that cleanses us, redeems us, ransoms us from the enemy. So then we are called victorious, like Jesus is victorious. And then when Jesus rose and he told his disciples that I will not leave you comfortless when I go to my Father, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and then you will find comfort and not have any more doubts, any more pain, except when we don't trust Jesus completely. So put your entire trust in Jesus. It's hard sometimes when we see things going wrong in this world, but trust him. He is trustworthy. Hallelujah. He is victorious. Amen.
Down the Via Do.
Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la via dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalén, los soldados le abran paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver aquella cruz. Por la vía dolorosa, que es la vía del dolor, como oveja vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la vía dolorosa al Calvario y al morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Then the angel cried, "Son of God, come out. Your father is calling you." Out of the darkness of the tomb stepped Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the glorified Son of God. In a mighty voice that could no longer be silent, he proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he stepped out, clothed in his divine majesty and glory. The angel army greeted him with songs of praise. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, let we, your people, here in Merced, be your song of praise. Thank you. Amen.